The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Coach Gal looks like he's going to Arkansas. By the way, why is it Arkansas and not Arkansas? Or why is it Kansas and not Kansas? What happened there?
What did happen there?
Congratulations to Robin Lincoln.
Is that just a, hey, let's start fresh. Let me get out of Kentucky. Too much pressure.
Right. Yes.
They're not going to fire me, though they may want to, and maybe I don't want to continue here.
We had that conversation, Jason, on the air right after Kentucky lost, that the boosters boost. And there are no more powerful boosters in sports. Certainly Alabama, a few others are right there, than UK basketball boosters. So that was, I mean, look, I don't know this, but I'd bet a little bit on it that there was some cigar smoke filled room involving the Walton family and others, the big boosters down in Arkansas, and the Kentucky boosters. And, you know, you probably had five old, scraggly, wrinkled, cigar smoking white dudes sitting in a room saying, how can we figure this out, make it mutually beneficial? You pay a little of this, we'll pay a little bit of that. And you had Cal's agent. Probably as a whole, that's how it's done.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Okay, good.
Now who, though?
Well, I think, honestly, what I'm hearing is the two of the front runners right now, if you were laying odds, number one would be Nate Oates. They're going to, you know, they'd back up the Brinks truck for a guy like Nate Oates who's had a ton of success. And the dark horse, if you will, Billy Donovan.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe not even a dark horse.
Yeah, that's where he got his start in Kentucky as a coach. And obviously, tons of success at Florida. And it looks like the Bulls are going right back to his money. McNair kind of warned. You know, he never mentioned the Bulls by name. But I think the Bulls were one of the teams he's always talking about. That we don't want to just – remember, it was a couple years ago that their GM had – like, they had Vucevic, DeRozan, Levine. Like, this is a team on the rise. And then – they weren't.
Yeah.
So, also, Jason, one quick note here. I want to see how long. Can you see what I had up there? I want to see how long it takes you to tell me what this is. Okay.
There's a good chance he doesn't get this inside the Marcos ball.
Got it?
I already know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
On your life.
Here it comes. Oh, my goodness.
Tiger Woods, 16, the Masters, maybe the greatest chip in the moment we've ever seen. And the more I hear it, and I've heard it probably 100,000 times, and you know I'm obsessed with this stuff. In some ways, that is maybe, I think, the greatest call in sports history. And I'll tell you why. It probably isn't, but here's what my argument would be. Vern Lundquist does all the stuff the right way there. And when the ball pauses on the lip of the cup, the discipline in that moment to not go, oh, or so close. He didn't say a word. He's in the booth. He's in a booth in a elevated whatever thing, like a stand. He's not right. He's watching the monitor, but to know that there's a chance it could go in and to have the discipline to allow for the 1, 2, 3, 4 beats it took, and then the very human, you know, my goodness, or oh, whatever the heck he said, and then he comes in with the, I mean, when you look at the script of the call, it's not a great call. But when you combine that with the simplicity and the emotion, and I think the best calls are the ones that it's the announcer saying the thing, but it's like you and I on our couch talking about it. And Vern was, he laid it out. He let it breathe, the whole thing. It was It gives me goosebumps.
I don't think I've ever heard it again, and maybe it's not as good in my mind as I think, but I remember literally, I think I was coming back from the airport for some reason, and it was on our station. We had golf on, and I heard it described. Like, I just couldn't believe what happened because they were, you know, on radio on golf.
Right.
They have to give a little bit more descriptions, and they were talking about, oh, what a chip. He sent it up the hill. It's rolling. Oh, this is getting close. It's getting close. And then, I mean, I think I remember screaming in the car going, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to see this. But I remember thinking that was such a great call, but it was probably more feeling of what a great moment I just listened to.
The fact that you're able to – the fact that you're able to, you know, some people look at golf and they go, oh, golf on the radio. I mean.
Yeah, and sometimes it's more of, hey, let's take you over to 16 and here. Okay, so Tiger has just put one into the fairway. It's more of a describing of what's going on the course as less play-by-play until they get to the green. And in this one, it was definitely an audio call of it.
I can't find. I'm looking. I can't find it. By the way, I looked. Why does it say on Twitter, please put Jim Gray's radio call of Tiger's chip?
Jim Gray.
It was Jim Gray? Ah, come on. You just ruined it. I mean, look, if it's a good call, you go, hey. Yeah.
I like that call.
If it's a good call, it's a good call. But this week, it is the Masters. We will have, look, we're not going to go wall to wall. We completely understand that not everybody is into golf like we are, but it certainly
is. The game of golf.
Thank you, Scott Marsh. It certainly is the most iconic.
Yeah.
And now it's a little different. Because
Tiger's supposed to play.
He is supposed to play. He and Will Zalatoris were, I think, paired together today for a practice round, and they both did the skip over the water, the one that John Rahm made, and maybe the greatest golf shot we've ever seen that didn't count. It's just a matter of, you know, he has the lower back issue. As Nota Begay, who went to school with him at Stanford and is still close with him, said, it's just a matter, it's not a matter of can Tiger play the golf. He can play the golf. As a matter of fact, somebody I read somewhere, you never know if this is true, that he was there all weekend for practice rounds, that he was in the low 60s.
Wow.
For one of his rounds over this weekend. But that's the benefit of, you know, I don't know if he had a card or not, what he was doing.
Right.
It's
the walking, too.
It's the walking. And that leg. And what everybody says is it's the elevation is what's underrated. The elevation changes. But he's eyeing breaking the record. I think he's at 17 right now, most consecutive cuts made at the Masters. He would break that record if he makes the cut. And you'll remember his last Masters appearance. He made the cut and then had to withdraw the following day. So Tiger's there. You've got the LIV guys coming in. Nobody's playing well right now, although the normal, you know, McIlroy needs it. McIlroy was, I think, third yesterday at the Valero, which – here we go. If you didn't see the end of the Valero, it's two guys you've never heard of before, but my God, that was some amazing golf going to sudden death. You know, Brooks Koepka is always a threat, but he's playing like garbage right now. A lot of these guys are playing. This really feels like one of those, like, one of these guys is going to come back and establish himself and have a great weekend, or it's going to be, you know, Will Zalatoris, somebody like that coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I'm still, when the way things are going these days, when in doubt, I'm going Scotty Scheffler.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's Scotty Scheffler.
Won last year, right?
Or was it the year before? I think it was the year before. Yeah. But he won the first.
Oh, John Rahm might have won.
John Rahm won last year. Yes, he did. And then proceeded to head over to the LIV folks. Casey Pratt, by the way, is going to move to 9 a.m.
Okay,
we're shuffling here. And Casey, I think we'll have Casey on video, so I will send Christopher Laud that contact here. I'm just talking to myself. And then that means here we're going to put other stuff, and then here, and then okay. So there you go, Jason. Kings beat Brooklyn.
Yes, they did.
And 45 wins. You know, for all the yammering that I've done this year about how frustrating the team is, zooming out, seventh best.
You believe that?
The seventh best season in Sacramento era history. And going.
It doesn't feel like it, does it?
By the way, when you put those numbers together, did you happen to look like, are they close to being able to still rise up?
Not too many spots.
No?
Yeah, because okay. There's the 61-win season, a couple of 50s. I think they could pass last year's 48 if they went out to get to 49.
Okay.
But I think even matching last year would be a pretty significant achievement, knowing that the West is dramatically better, knowing that they've had a few more injuries. And like we said earlier, no matter where they finish and with how many wins, this is a year that we can all point to a large group of games that could have been different, which is unfortunate.
Is that what the title's going to be? The what could have been season? Your 23-24 Kings? The what if Kings?
Yeah.
Still a lot. You know, look, they got all the – Jason, I'm gonna say this. The Sacramento Kings could win the NBA Finals this year.
They can.
They literally
right.
can.
Yes.
We don't know what's ahead of us.
Right.
Although somebody did unearth on Facebook memories about 2 months ago. I forgot the audio I was going to play it, and then I forgot a couple months ago. I should have saved it. It was 5 years ago, right around now, because it's, about 5 years ago, 2 months ago, if you will, I said on this very station, the Sacramento Kings are going to win an NBA championship within the next 5 years.
Mm.
So I've got, this is it.
This is your window.
I got the rest of this year. Yeah. And if they do, it's the all-time greatest call. It beats Vern Lundquist.
Yes.
It's the all-time greatest call in history.
Yeah.
They probably won't. Just going to say that, not trying to be negative.
Okay.
They probably, this is negative Dave again, they probably will not win the NBA championship this year.
But there is a chance.
There is a chance.
Like Utah can't. They cannot win.
They cannot win
San Antonio will not win it.
Pretty sure the Rockets won't.
Nope. Memphis. No
Detroit,
chance.
Not going to happen.
Can't do it.
Washington, maybe.
Nope.
Nope, they can't. You're right. Kings?
Can.
All the Kings have to do, all the Kings have to do is win right around 16. I would say if the Kings win 18 more games this year, they're going to win the title.
Yeah.
That's my number.
Why not win out? So it would be... Likely, if they won out, they've won yesterday for 21 in a row.
If the Kings finish on a 21-game win streak to win the championship, I will say this. I wish I knew that was going to happen because I would put money on them to win the championship right now because I got to think those odds. I believe I saw a couple weeks ago it was like 550-1.
Some How about point. The odds to win 21 in a row?
I don't think that's on the board, Jason. Yeah. I say we.
Oh man, I'm out of cash.
I say we spend the rest of the show just talking about what if the Kings win the whole thing.
Let's do it.
We will take a break. Well, it was going to be Casey next. Now we're going to move Casey to 9 o'clock, which means next segment is an open segment. What say we can
next segment's the dialed in
the wait, what? Who? Where? Oh, because we're late. There we go. This is why I shouldn't run a show. Kings win in Brooklyn. We'll talk about that. We got some post game for you next. But first, you know what screwed me up, Jason? Because it's just a 30-second break here. Is that we had Nets for two segments in a row because of the back and forth.
Yeah, it was nothing but Nets.
Nothing but Nets, and nothing but American Energy coming into your house. Saving you money by changing over everything to electric. Save big with American Energy. Stay. Okay, I just totally threw me, Jason. ADD time, sorry. Hey, what does that say up there, the blind? The bottom line up there on TV, too.
Oh, I got you.
I look over.
I was thinking, what's wrong with that? Will Clark being it? Will Clark.
All I saw was Will Clark, and it completely threw me. All right, so American Energy. Going to absolutely revolutionize the game for you by switching you to electric. Many incredibly efficient AC options available to you now. Get rid of those fluctuating gas bills in the winter. Switch to year-round all-electric with American Energy. Let them perform a free in-home energy efficiency analysis and see where they can help you save for the warmer months ahead. These guys are the best. Learn more by calling 916-520-9990. That's 916-520. 9990, AmericanEnergyAir.com, American Energy, making the uncomfortable comfortable. All right, 30 seconds when we come back. Kings win by 30. We got some post game for you, and then Casey Pratt will join us at 9 a.m. We also got a who's hot, who's not in there as well. We'll do all that right after this.
Car very good sources, and he just kind of tells it as it is and gets to the point.
Jason Ross.
He has a lot of pretty smart things to say.
He's good at what he does.
On Sacktown Sports.
He gives us a lot. I mean, he's steady. He's really, really even keeled. And, you know, as a guy that's going to speak up, you know, it's good to have sometimes a guy that is not afraid. He's not afraid at all, but is pretty even keeled and tries to look at it from all different sides, whenever there's a problem or something like that in front of us. And then at the end of the day, the respect level is so high for him because he plays so hard and people know he cares and he's trying to play the right way. So having him, especially at his size and his ability to shoot the basketball, is big for us. And, you know, his leadership is something that we definitely need in times like this.
Mike Brown on Trey Lyles. Why are there salt and pepper shakers right here, by the way? What are we doing? Trey Lyles is salty the other night, though, in a good way, and was our red velvet, or our velvet king of the day. If you're not familiar with Velvet King, it's the player that we elect after each game that stepped up the most in place of Red Velvet, Kevin Herter, and Malik Monk, which Malik means king in Arabic, as Mark Jones has shared with us many times.
Yeah.
So there you go, Jason. As we mentioned before, seventh best season in Sacramento Kings history. The Kings hold the Nets to just 77 points. That is a season low.
Yeah, by a good bit. I think it was Toronto they held to 89. So this defense, the metrics, the numbers are better. Boston was one of the best offenses in the league. They held them down low as well. Unfortunately, didn't win that game. So they're doing some things better defensively. I know we're used to seeing them shine and be so smooth offensively. That hasn't been the case. And they are missing Monk and Herter. I know guys have elevated their game, but they miss those two guys. They really do.
They do. And they miss, you know, we've seen, what is it? I think they're top five or top four in defensive rating since they both went down.
Yeah. That's going to be the strength, right? They'll be a better defensive team.
Yes. But they're also, it's hurting.
Yeah.
It's hurting offensively.
Well, and I think what's happening is, and we're seeing it a lot more, this is a little bit like, I don't know if it's quite the same as the Warriors series, but teams are really packing the paint. They're doubling down on Sabonis. He's making a few more mistakes than I would say he was earlier, but I do feel like he has less. I mean, Kevin Herter is a floor spacer. He can spread the floor. He's a shooter that people have to acknowledge. Mm-hmm. And the Malik as a playmaker, shooter, yes, scorer, driver, all that stuff. Those two things are hurting their offense. I think it's putting a lot more pressure on Sabonis. Now, you're getting some really good stuff out of Davion defensively and some offensively. Keon's been terrific on yes, both parts too. But I think they missed those other guys offensively, but they found kind of a new potential strength here in what they're doing defensively.
Is Keon Ellis kind of at this point, you know, as we try to get used to him in the starting lineup and get used to his reactions or his contributions, I should say. Is Keon Ellis kind of a Matisse Thybulle type where offense is a bonus? Do we need to look at it like that a little?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think there's some similarities there. I mean, he's out there primarily for his defense, but I mean, he has contributed offensively.
He has. It's just spotty. And yeah, I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, he's like the, you know, ninth option in a five-man starting lineup. But you look at his last four games, 6-3, 11-3 on 35% shooting. Over those last four games. That's and then you look at the games before. He had 5 against Utah, 16-10 in the Dallas games, 19 against Orlando, but then 5-2, 6-5, 5-7, 0-11, 5. You know, we're going back to when he was coming off the bench too. I'm not, and by the way, that's not me bagging him at all. I'm saying his job, as you just said, is defense.
Right.
And it just seems like anything you get from him offensively is a bonus, except I would just say this, that 3-point stroke's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's good. That's what's helping the team. It's helping his game. And, you know, I would say the other thing is coach seems to have, I know he didn't play a ton yesterday, but a little bit longer of a leash for him right now than someone like Harrison Barnes.
Yes.
If Barnes is not scoring, they're not getting a whole lot of other stuff from Harrison.
They're
Barnes.
Not.
So coach is like, all right, I'll go with Colby Jones. I'll go with Davion. I'll go with Trey. I'll play someone else if I have to. And so coach is kind of in that mode right now.
When you look at Keon's numbers, by the way, just to see if this comp works, he's averaging, and again, remember, a lot of this is him not starting, but 4.7 points, 2 boards, and 1.5 assists. Mazeez Thybulle is averaging 5.4 points, mm-hmm. 2 boards, and 1.4 assists.
Yeah.
Keon's doing it on 44.7% shooting. Thybulle's doing it on 39.7% shooting. Maybe that's our Mazeez Thybulle.
Yeah.
And that's a guy I've wanted for a long time. Maybe that's who Keon Clark is for us. Keon Ellis is for us.
But what are his numbers now, like since he's been kind of, you know, more in the mix?
Sure,
because
sure.
I think that's counting, hey, some late game or 2 minute stretches here mm-hmm. where he officially plays a game but doesn't maybe even score.
So in this month so far, just April, 4 games, he's averaging 22 minutes a game. 5.8 points, 4 boards, 2 assists on 35% from the field, 50% from behind the arc. In the month of March, 25.8 minutes a game, really stepped up there because it was 7.5 minutes the month before. 7.5 points. Okay. 3.5 boards, 2 assists on 50% from the field, 44% from beyond the arc. Now, it's tough, to be honest, for me to sit here and say who's the better defender, Ellis or Thybulle. And by the way, by how much? Because you can look at defensive rating, you can look at defensive win shares, but again, that's also helped or hurt by your surroundings. But if let's just be honest, Thybulle's been an all second team-ish defender for a while now. I'm not ready to put Ellis there. But Ellis, I think, is certainly better and has more to offer offensively, which is positive.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like where he is, how comfortable he's looking. And then obviously we will say this till the end. I mean, this team's overall success is going to be on Fox and Sabonis. And those guys got to their typical numbers again yesterday. Fox had 40 against Boston and wasn't just enough, but I like where Fox is right now.
I like where he is. I like where Sabonis is. Did some checking, by the way. You know how it seems like Sabonis has trouble with those little middies?
Mm-hmm.
He's shooting 71% from within 5 feet, so.
Mm. Okay.
It's one of those, like, the stuff stands out that, yeah. You know, whatever. Like, you look at all the bad things said on Twitter, but you never look at the good stuff. It's
true.
One of those things. We'll take a break. When we return... What do we decide we want to do here, Jason? Coming up next, because we went Kings here.
Dealer's choice.
You know what? We'll think about it during the break. We might go Kings. We might talk about the A's a little bit. We might talk about some random stuff. Coach Cal's on the move. There's a lot we can choose from. We're gonna pause for a couple minutes. When we come back, we'll do something you've never heard before. I mean, I can honestly say that. You've never heard the next segment. It will be the only time you ever hear that segment, too. And then who's hot?
Unless you listen on the podcast or YouTube.
Well, that's true, but you ruined the fairy tale for everyone. Maybe we'll do WrestleMania recap with Christopher Laud.
We got yours already.
Yeah, I thought I did pretty well. Yeah. We should probably send that out so everybody knows what happened. We'll recap threes and the keys as well. We'll go streaking, who's hot, who's not. And then Casey Pratt, ABC 7, 9 o'clock. We'll do all that next.
Michael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sactown Sports.
You're the lady on the phone line. JR took advantage. JR, good morning. Thank you for holding, pal. How are you?
Hey, Snarkies. Hey. What are you doing?
Snarkies and Hutch.
Snarkies and Hutch.
Oh, boy. I had Snarky in my bingo card. That's awesome. You guys nailed it.
How are you, buddy?
Good. How you guys doing?
You know what? It's Monday, but we have the best job in the world. Well.
You do. Well.
I can think of a couple better jobs, but I can't say it on the air.
Well, when you work with Chris a lot, you are definitely on the higher echelon of good jobs.
Or
good
lower, point. But either way, it depends on how you see it,
pal. Hey, so we see the greatest thing for Caitlin, she's already got the State Farm commercial going for her. Mm-hmm. And the funniest thing, I'm sitting there watching it with a bunch of friends, some friends that don't watch a lot of sports, and they're like, oh, Caitlin's already got her own commercial. But who's that other guy that is shooting the ball? They didn't even know who Jimmy Butler was.
Oh.
Classic.
He didn't have his hair right, man.
That's he didn't. I think he's wearing a
Yeah, you gotta have the emo Harry hat at the beginning of the year.
It's much more recognizable.
It's great to see, though. It's great to see it go mainstream, and I'm excited for it. I always say I don't understand people that gatekeep sports. The more stuff that's interesting, the better.
Yeah,
and as somebody who has always respected the women's game, who's always had respect for it, and who has always, you know, never spoken ill, it just never grabbed my interest on a anywhere close to the level it is right now. And I think I speak for a lot. I think I speak for a lot of people. You look at the numbers. I think it's great. And I think, like we talked about earlier, JR, I want to avoid, you know, what we're going to see is all of a sudden it's almost like the brackets in March Madness where everybody watches 20 minutes and becomes an instant expert. But here we are. It's good to watch. It's more cool stuff to watch on TV.
Is Katie listening or something? Why are you doing so much?
I know.
Kissing? Wow, I know. That was really deep, brother.
Thanks, bro.
Hey, real quick, though. You said Lakers-Denver series. What do we got there this year?
The Lakers, and they're 0-3 versus the Nuggets.
Okay, and then what are we against the Nuggets?
We are 3-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, wait, most important, what are we against the Lakers?
We are 4-0,
baby.
Great week is ahead. Bye-bye.
Bye.
He just had to get that in.
I appreciate that. I appreciate JR. This is going to be a mishmash segment, Jason. When in doubt, I like to clear out my bookmarks on social media.
Okay.
Here's some notes. Let's
see what you bookmark.
John Fisher is the only owner of the Oakland Athletics with a losing one-loss record. Oof. As Earthquakes owner, his record is 163, 216, and 150. Remember, that's he also good. Owns that team in MLS. The other Quakes owners, 116, 85, and 37. Mm. So when you say John Fisher's a loser... I mean, he
actually
that's not an insult. That's
backing it up with numbers.
Literally is a loser, and we can't wait to welcome him and his losing brand of baseball to Sacramento. That was me being snarky. Did you do the face?
Yeah, I did.
That was me being snarky. Jason Ross, how is Victor Wembanyama not going to be the defensive player of the year? The candidates are probably him, Rudy, Bam, Jared Allen, and Anthony Davis. Now, I'll just tell you, Rudy Gobert is the biggest candidate.
Sounds like blocks are the only thing that matters to people.
Well, blocks per game, Victor Wembanyama 3.5, Rudy Gobert 2.1. Well, how about steals? That's defense.
Okay.
Victor Wembanyama 1.3, Rudy Gobert 0.6. What about deflections? That's like steals. That's defense. Victor Wembanyama, 3. Rudy Gobert, 1.6. However, that's fine. But really, the good show of defense is, does your team play better defense with you on the floor or not? You could have individual stats. The defensive rating of the Minnesota Timberwolves when Rudy Gobert leaves the floor goes down 4.1. When Anthony Davis leads the floor, it actually goes up 1.5. Jared Allen goes down 0.1. But let's focus on Rudy. It goes down 4.1. That's a lot. When Victor Wembanyama leaves the floor, the defensive rating of the San Antonio Spurs drops 12 points.
Wow.
12 points.
Yeah.
He is more than double Rudy in steals. He has 1.5 more blocks than Rudy per game. He doubles him in deflections per game. And he triples him in defensive rating drop. Now, I'm sure some smart person will come in with their smart stuff and give me a really good reason as to why. Well, but actually, here's the thing about Rudy. It's just tough to see, man.
Yeah, I love the one that I like the best out of that is that what he is, what the Spurs are with him off the floor.
Yeah.
But is there ever going to be a time where, I mean, it feels like the defensive player of the year just goes to big guys now. Rebounding, deflections,
yeah, what was the last
blocks.
One? It was Marcus Smart, I think, 3 years ago got it. And okay. Then, no, but your
but
point's valid.
But even before
valid.
That, I feel like, I mean, at some point, I know there's metrics that do it, but most of the top scorers in this league are on the perimeter.
Yes.
So if there was a metric that said Bridges holds Luka, the leading scorer, and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, the number two leading scorer, and this player and that player, 9 points below their average, but he's not anywhere near in blocks and has a few steals. Like,
right.
I don't know. It just feels like we kind of get caught up in some of the blocks and steals numbers, which
yes.
is part of defense for sure. But
Jason, no, your point is it's one of my favorite topics. Honest to God, is when you get nerdy about stuff. This is one of my favorite nerd topics. My favorite nerd topic when it comes to basketball is how do you define an assist, mm-hmm. and are we ever going to get past that where you can say this is an assist and I can say it's not and whatever. The problem with the defensive player of the year is that there hasn't been enough work done to mainstream defense when it comes to statistics. We know offensively, we know what a guy scores per game, we know assists, we know rebounds, all that stuff. And block shots is just one metric. What we need to do is we need to find more ways to really rate guys defensively in a way that people can understand. For example, if you're out there playing defense and you're guarding Chris Verlade, who's leading the league in scoring, well, what does Chris Verlade normally score per game?
Right.
And what is he scoring? What is he doing per 36, for example, when you're guarding him?
Yeah.
And what is that metric going to be? And can we get a, when Jason guards players, they score above this much or below this much of what they normally would? And then you go into, okay, when Jason's on the floor, the other team scores. Because the best scorers in this league, for the most part, your Jokic's, your Giannis's, your Embiid's, which are three huge ones, but the bulk of your scoring is coming from your wings and your guards,
yeah,
for most teams in the NBA, which would then make you think, okay, is a perimeter lockdown defender? And I'll ask you this. You have a choice between having, forget offense, I'm talking purely defense. Would you rather, if you could draft anybody in the league, just defensively, would you rather have a lockdown perimeter scorer or a lockdown big man five?
A lockdown perimeter defender?
Yeah, or a lockdown five. Lockdown five meaning a Gobert type that's going to stifle tower everything, or the guy that you can put on two or three positions that's going to lock that person down or do pretty close. I'm not leading you, by the way. I think it's a great argument.
Yeah, I think so too. And actually now, because I was kind of defending the wings, but I think if you have a lockdown, here's a counter to what I was saying. I think if you have a lockdown interior player, you might be able to get away with having less perimeter guys.
Sure.
Whereas if you have a great perimeter guy,
then you still
and
need,
you still have some other junk, yeah, on the perimeter and no goalie really.
Right.
I think the team better defensively overall is with the interior guy.
I think you're right, but then there's this little voice in my head that's like, but the defending champions.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have a lockdown big guy, but right, they've got a couple. They got obviously Aaron Gordon, who's good defensively. Last year they had Bruce.
But that interior guy is so dang good offensively.
He really is.
Yeah. It's a good question.
Just to answer your comment, by the way, so Marcus Smart did win it 2 years ago. Jaren Jackson won it last year. But then here you go. Gobert, Giannis, Gobert. Draymond, who I think still kind of counts as a big man. Kawhi.
Okay.
Joakim Noah, Mark Gasol, Tyson Chandler, three straight years of Dwight Howard. Garnett, Marcus Camby, Ben Wallace twice, Artest, Wallace twice more, Mutombo, two Mutombos, and then a Gary Payton. So since 1996, you've had one, two, let's count Kawhi, three, four, five perimeter-ish guys, okay, that have done that. But that's five in 27 years. So you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't know that that's wrong or right. Who knows? We'll take a break. I'm talking about the philosophy behind it. Who's hot? Who's not? And let's recap a three in the key. Two of them, as a matter of fact, and let's go streaking. We'll do all that next.
What's hot and what's not? Brought to you by American Energy Heat and Air. Making the uncomfortable comfortable. Head to AmericanEnergyAir.com to find out more.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Heating and Air. Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
I don't like it when people say they called their shot after the fact. So I'm going to set myself up for failure here. Why do I have a feeling that one of these is going to be dumb? I don't know why. It's like my spider sense is tingling. Who's hot?
What do you mean by dumb?
Just, it's going to be one of your, like, weird ones.
Okay. Guess right. Demonis Sabonis, is he dumb?
Nope. Okay. Nope. That counts. Nope. I'm wrong there.
He had 18 points, 20 rebounds, and 9 assists yesterday in the Kings' 107-77 win over the Brooklyn Nets. Mm. It was Sabonis' 74th double-double this season and is tied for second for the most double-doubles in a season with Moses Malone.
He was good.
He had 74 in the 80-81 season. The record, if you're wondering, is 77 double-doubles in a season, ooh, also by Moses Malone. And if Domantas Sabonis' streak continues, he could break Moses Malone's record on the final game of the season.
Let's go.
Against the Trailblazers on Sunday.
Let's go.
Let's do go.
Although, no triple-double.
No.
Yeah, is he washed? Who's not?
Now, this might sound a little weird.
Uh-huh.
A little strange.
Uh-huh.
The Utah Jazz.
Okay, neither of these were dumb. All right, I thought you were gonna, I thought it was going to be like, Cody Rhodes has won his 93rd. I thought it was going to be something.
Okay.
That's all right. I was wrong. Like I said, I thought it was. It was not. Why? What is wrong with the Utah Jazz other than they can't stop losing?
They. Well, that's the thing. They lost to the Golden State Warriors yesterday, 118-110.
Can't stop.
12th loss in a row. They, ironically, had the longest streak of teams. I'm trying to think of how they worded this. Going the longest without having a 10-game losing streak.
Oh,
by
yeah,
a team.
Yeah.
81-82 was the last time.
Wow, this is their first double-digit losing streak since 81-82. Mm-hmm. Golly. Jason was in high school during that whole thing.
I don't think my parents were even together.
He told me to say that. Thank you. Exactly. Also, who's not? I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but John Fisher's a loser.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, as we said in the last segment, but I'll add it in again, the A's owner is the only A's owner with a losing one loss record. He also is the only Earthquakes owner with a losing record at 163, 216, and 150. All other Quakes owners are 116, 85, and 37. You know what? That was dirty. I did remember that I said it. I just wanted to throw that stat in.
Reiterate it.
By the way, do you think we should put out a... Should I honestly, should we put out a request to get John on the show? Just to do it, right?
Yes.
What if they said yes?
Oh, my God.
Okay, let me ask you this. What if they said John Fisher would come on the show, but we're not allowed to ask him if he'll sell the team? Let me think of one more. And we're not allowed, no, just that. Do we still do the interview? But we can't ask that question. That's their only request. Yeah. I think so, too.
What
but
if he said he would only do celebrity birthdays? Would we have him on?
Honest to God, I would.
Yeah. What if he was great at it?
What if he, if he was, then I'd be like, you're cheating. Automatically. I'd be like, he's obviously cheating and probably he's got them all written on a yellow pad.
Yeah.
I would do it, though, and then we'd just get they brought him on, and all they did was ask him how old Marley Matlin is. Didn't ask him a single, I don't know why I said Marley Matlin. And didn't ask him a single A's or whatever question.
We did off air.
What a bunch of shills. Yeah, we'll say we recorded it. We didn't get that part.
We got his answers off air.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Oh, we weren't able to get to the interview. Sorry for that, everybody.
We'll put that out later in podcast form.
We'll give you a written transcript of what was said.
We let him
reenact it.
You want to do Let's Go Streaking, John? He wouldn't be able to pick an A. Yeah. He'd have to name one. All right. Let's go streaking. Right?
It's time to go streaking.
We're going streaking!
Who is the Nostradamus of MLB?
Who can keep the streak going? It's time to go streaking.
What the hell are you doing?
We're streaking.
Well, I have a season high 4-game hitting streak going right now.
Oh, and you remembered who you picked.
I did remember
who
I picked.
Why don't you reveal Michael Taylor on Friday?
Well, I will tell you this. Michael Taylor so far this season.
Having over 400.
467.
Okay.
In the opening game, he had a hit, then a hit, then he had two hits, then he had a hit. Then he had three. Then he had one.
He's hot.
Then he had three.
Okay.
So he not only had a hit in every single game so far this year, but batting almost 500.
Multiple in many games.
Shows up on Friday against Baltimore. Three at-bats. Doesn't get a hit.
Boo.
Boo. What a ding-dong. He had a hit in every single game.
Yeah. Hey, Kyle said he found our sounder. Did he tell you where it was?
Did he?
Chris?
No.
Oh.
This is news to me.
He told me the other day he found it. I go, oh, great. And then I never asked any more about it.
Well, breaking news. Kyle Ledbetter?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Draper. Draper was looking
Kyle
through
Draper,
his Zeta.
Yeah. Okay, well.
All right, so you got to start a new one today.
Oh, hold on. Wait. Oh. So can you announce that again?
And then my guy goes 0 for 3.
Ooh, you suck. Sorry, it's over.
Love it.
Is Kyle Ledbetter the Velvet King of the show today?
He is. I have to admit it.
Facts.
You know what, Kyle? A couple of Nutri-Grain bars over here. You're welcome to have one.
He's already had a few this morning.
I think he is already. Yeah. They're disappearing very quickly.
So I was on a streak equally as impressive as you, Dave. I had not had a hit in 4 straight games, which I believe is my personal longest drought.
I think it is, too.
And I said, I'm not messing around anymore. I'm going to All Rise. I'm going to Aaron Judge because I'm going to get a hit.
Yep.
The Yankees were hot. They were playing on Friday. Aaron Judge, in his 2 plate appearances, he did not get a hit.
That's not the sounder. Oh, well, you didn't have a streak.
Yeah, he didn't have a streak.
That's a good point.
And then Christopher Lott also without a hit for a couple of games, but he's like, you know what? I tried this Evan Carter guy before. He didn't play, and then I went somewhere else. I'm going to go back to this Evan Carter guy. He had 4 plate appearances. Evan Carter, 2 for 4.
Wow.
Christopher Lott, the show
His
leader.
First hits of the season?
Yours first hits of the season. My guy is hitting every game.
So Chris is at 1. Dave,
I just know
I.
baseball better than you.
Apparently,
he's
you
a
do.
Baseball guy.
You know, interesting thing about who I picked, Michael Taylor of the Pirates. Looking a little deeper into Michael Taylor, he's 33 years old. He's got a lifetime batting average of .240, and he started out the season almost .500.
That's on you.
You know what though?
You're not doing it again.
I'm a big believer in second chances.
Wow.
He couldn't go 0-2 games in a row.
Impossible.
He couldn't do that, could he? Michael Taylor, my pick to click. And they're taking on the Tigers today.
Wow.
Feeling good about that.
After the Tigers lost 2 of 3 to these A's. I'm taking a Yankee again, and I'm not going Aaron Judge. I'm going Gleyber Torres.
Oh, Gleyber.
Yeah. Chris, you can take anybody but Evan Carter.
I'm going to take Marcell Ozuna.
Oh, yeah, from the Braves.
Hey, our guy's asking for the link, by the way. Did you send it to him?
I am. When I get a chance.
Okay. All right.
Okay. We took care of streaking.
Jason, who'd you pick?
I took Gleyber Torres.
I was just doing that for Chris.
I should have asked you.
Oh, Glaves. All right. Let's recap 3 in the key. Kings, Celtics. Jason Ross, get us through.
Okay. Kings and Celtics Friday night. Dave, we asked because Harrison Barnes didn't score or barely scored the other day. So we said, how many is he going to score on Friday? You said 14. I said 11. Chris said 15. He scored 10.
Oh,
this guy was the closest.
You were the closest. Good for you, Jason.
Then we asked largest lead by the Celtics. Dave, you said it would be 33. I said it would be 18. Chris said it would be 24. It was 19. This guy again.
You're on fire.
Then random stat. Dave, you said Kings would lead after 1. It was Boston 27-15 after 1. I said,
but I was close.
Keegan Murray would get a double-double. He had 10 points and 11 rebounds for a double-double. Yay, me. And Chris said Sabonis would have 55 total between points, rebounds, and assists. He went for 16, 16, and 6. That is a total of 38.
That is a total of 38.
So there you go.
Jason.
I think I won that Boston series.
I think
series.
You destroyed. You were amazing. By the way, aren't you 1-0 as their play-by-play guy?
Yeah, I was going to say that's not fair. He's a Celtics announcer.
Chris, I like to be referred to as a spy.
Breaking news on the guy I picked for Let's Go Streaking. I just noticed that Michael Taylor, for some weird reason, he went 0-3 on Friday. He didn't play Saturday or Sunday. So I'm going to change my pick because it sounds like he might be injured. That's a great catch by me.
Great catch.
Give me Will Smith, and let's go back to West Philadelphia.
You're going
to
get jiggy with it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why not? Who doesn't? All right.
Parents just don't understand.
Re-rack, Nets, Kings, John Tash, 3 in the key. Let's go.
All right. We asked the last basket for the Kings.
Uh-huh.
Dave, you said Kessler Edwards. I said Davion Mitchell. Chris said Sasha.
To you.
The correct answer was delivered. Kessler Edwards. Carmichael Dave got it right. You knew. You knew his and one late would be the difference.
I knew it.
Yes.
In my bones.
Then we asked for the Velvet King in this game. Which reserve player would have the most points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks?
Yeah.
Davey said Lyles. I said Lyles. Chris said Mitchell. The correct answer was Trey Lyles. Colby Jones was close.
He was pretty close.
That was Trey Lyles.
That's 2-0.
Then random stat. Dave, you said wire-to-wire win. No, not quite, but...
It was close.
Nets led a couple different times as much by 7-2. I said Sabonis would have a triple-double. Way off. 18-20-9.
That's close.
And then Chris said Fox would have a double-double with points and assists. De'Aaron Fox had 20 points and 5 assists.
It was close.
Got to be better.
Yeah.
It's the final week. No more messing around.
No more messing around, okay?
Yep.
All right.
I'm with you.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Are we all in this together, buddy?
I'm ready to talk to Casey Pratt.
Casey Pratt is going to join us. He is a TV guy.
He's a TV star.
He really is. ABC 7 in the Bay Area. He's going to join us.
We got to find out where he was vacationing because he was one of the few of the Proud that made it back in time for that press conference.
He did, and we're all very proud of him. He raced up here. We're going to ask him about the timing of that press conference, too, see if he has any feelings about the timing of the presser as well. Also, his back and forth with Vivek, he has some very, very good questions. We'll play that audio as well. We'll do all that next.